Have you ever proven that the Lord answers your prayer? Which prayer have you proven that it was the Lord who answered it? If you ask the Lord for something easy like food, Lord, what food should we eat today? You might not be thinking that it was God who gave you the food because you just reheat what you have left sometime in the New Year celebration. I don't know, but God, ask God for difficult things that you cannot do and accomplish by your own effort. Meaning, pray for great things, things that you know that you cannot do. And when you pray for difficult things that you never imagined to happen, will your faith in the Lord will grow? Don't force that. Pray that God blesses your, for example, if your children are not giving offering, pray that they will cheerfully give if you want them to gladly return the tithes of God. There was this story about a child. The mother told the child, give to God cheerfully, for God loves a cheerful giver. So the mother tested the child. She gave her $5 and $1 to the Lord, to her child, and asked her child, give which one you would cheerfully give to the Lord. And the Lord gave the $1. Which one did you give? I give $1. Why? Because I feel bad if I will give the $5. So I gave the $1. And that is how children, we can easily observe how humans would give. They would give what is less and not what is more. Now, if it is tough for your children to give, pray. Don't force them. Give that 10% to the Lord. Don't force them to just to give. Just tell them, but don't force them. But pray for them that they will have that joy in giving until they sense the fruit of the Holy Spirit, joyful peace, and they will give cheerfully, and God would love them and bless them even more. Do you believe that when we give grudgingly and reluctantly, God will bless you more? No. God doesn't need our giving. What He wants to see in us is the joy of giving, not how much we give. So pray for them. Now, if your children really want to sleep overnight during on Sundays, and it's hard for you to wake them up on Sundays, let's go up. Let's get ready, he'll go to church. I heard a story of a young child. His father was really very punctual going to church. So he would leave his children, and the children want to join their father, so they need to wake up early. Truly, children do not understand yet that punctuality is very important. So do not just scold them or say negative things to them. Instead, pray. Pray that they would wake up early. Pray that they would sleep early on Saturdays. Then they would have good night rest, and they will wake up energetically on Sundays. And you will feel great also if you see your children waking up early on Sundays. And that would be a blessing for you, and God bless children and parents who would punctually attend worship services. Now, if for example, you are looking for a job, you are working two jobs, three jobs, four jobs just to meet your needs, family needs, and you are thinking, will God give me just one job that pays the same as much as my four jobs? That is difficult, but pray about that. It could be that God would pray that God would send that person who may refer to you the best job he prepared for you. Many among us would not attend Sunday worship service because some of you are forced to attend Sundays, or you are forced to work on Sundays because you are new in the job. You are the ones who are tasked to work on Sundays. Is it possible for you to not work on Sunday so that you can attend worship services? If that is, you think it's impossible because of the job, the kind of job you have, pray about that. You can see other church members, church attendees who attend church on Sundays, and why you cannot do that. Would God grant you job so that you would not escape Sundays or attend Wednesday prayer meeting? Pray about that. Don't just feel bad that I preach about punctuality. Don't just feel bad that I preach about teaching. Don't just feel bad that I preach about attending Sundays and prayer meeting. Pray about it. Ask God, Lord, I want also to attend. Help me attend gladly. And that would be something you know that God had granted. And when God granted your prayer request, the more you would praise Him and thank Him because you know that it was God who answered your prayers. When God grants difficult things for you, you realize that His love for you is really great. Let's reflect on Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 to 19. Verse 16, let's read. Pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Have you explored how wide, how long, high, and deep is the love of Christ for you? When God grants our prayers, the Holy Spirit produces peace in us. You know that God granted your prayer even if when you haven't received yet, when you sense that peace, there's this peace and gladness in your heart. Let me share our experience as a family before we came to Canada. We were praying for God's go signal to come to Canada. And we were going provinces, cities. My wife and I were going there to join the team in training VBS and storytelling. And we asked friends who we meet to pray for us, and then someone mockingly suggested, maybe you were called to Candaba, Pampanga, Philippines, and not to Canada. Do you know Candaba? Really, truly, they say that. They were mocking us. Are you sure you're going to Canada? Can you give me the slide of Candaba, Canada? Candaba, Pampanga. They have that slide. There you go. It's near Mexico. Not Mexico. Next to USA. It's near in San Miguel, San Fernando. If you were there, that's Candaba. You haven't been there. It's near Angeles. Angeles. There's no angel there. Nonetheless, we prayed. Seriously, we prayed. And we had that joyful peace instead of negativity or doubts. We just let that mocking slide. We didn't take it seriously, because it's not really mocking, but they just make fun of the moment. I don't know. Peace from God assured us with confidence that He already granted our prayers. Actually, I was already communicating with Kuya Max at the time, so we did not say that. It's very, really sure, but we pray that in God's time we will enter Canada. So even when others doubted, we had that confidence. We trusted that it's God's will for us to enter Canada, and no mockery can prevent the will of God to materialize. Amen? So how should we interpret and how should we explain to children John 16:13-14? Let's read together. When He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify Me, because it is from Me that He will receive what He will make known to you. This is the Lord Jesus speaking. When He, the Spirit of truth, who is the Spirit of truth? The Spirit of Jesus Christ. You believe that? Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the truth, so do you think that the Spirit of truth is the Spirit of Christ? Because He said, He will glorify Me, the Spirit of Christ, glorify Him, because it is from Jesus Christ that the Spirit of truth receive what the Spirit of truth will make known to us. The Spirit of truth, the Spirit of Christ. And the joyful peace from the Holy Spirit assures us that God grants our prayer. You know that your prayer is granted when you sense that. You have that peace. You do not have any doubt. You have that confidence. You cannot force peace. You know it. You can sense it. If you are shaken or have negativity, there's no peace in that. And may the Holy Spirit inspire us to pray for great things that God had already prepared to glorify Christ in us. God had already prepared things that He wants to grant us. Did you know that? Even before we were yet to be born. So even before we pray, the Lord had already prepared for that. So when we pray for things that God had prepared, and not what you think you want. Or you may pray, Lord, fill my heart with that desire You want me to ask You. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is more glorious than the experience of Moses in Mount Sinai. Now, Moses experienced this glorious transitory or temporal glory, and the ministry of the Holy Spirit is more glorious than the temporal and evanescent glory that Moses experienced. Let's read again verse 7 of our passage. Now, if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory. Transitory though it was, will the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? Now, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to glorify Christ in and through us. And Apostle Paul implied that he experienced the Holy Spirit as more glorious than the evanescent or transitory glory that Moses experienced. Now, Moses spent time with the Lord 40 days, 40 nights. He was on top of the mountain, Mount Sinai, and when he came down, his face was radiant. In that radiant face of Moses did not stay long. It faded. It was evanescent. It was temporal. It was transitory glory. Reflect on what happened in Exodus chapter 34, verse 29 to 31. Let's read this together. Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the covenant law in his hand. He was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them. So Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him. Now the face of Moses was evanescently radiant. I use that word evanescent because of the letter E. And also for you, for us to learn what is evanescent. What is evanescent? Evanescent means fleeting, temporal, transitory. You can use temporal if it is easier for you to remember, but I just want to use that word this time to remember our points here. The face of Moses was evanescently radiant, temporal, after the Lord gave him the Ten Commandments tablets. See? You have tablets these days. Do you think there was tablet before? They have tablets before. Moses had two tablets, actually. According to the scholars, there were two tablets. I don't know if there were or actually two tablets. The transitory glory of that Moses experienced, it symbolized that temporal glory, transitory glory that the stone tablets or the Ten Commandments bring. The ministry of the Ten Commandments brought death. Wow, how is that? Why is it that the ministry of the temporal glory, the ministry of the Ten Commandments brought death? Because it was temporal. How is that? The law or the commandments of the Lord, it exposes how anyone can sin before the Lord. It exposes that we are sinners before the Lord. The law dictates the punishment of sin, which is death. Death is the punishment of violating the law of the Lord. Now, together, let's reflect on Romans chapter 4, verse 15. The law brings wrath, and where there is no law, there is no transgression. And true, we understand that. This is why many motorists hate traffic rules and regulation. Why? Because if there's no traffic rules, there's no violation of traffic, right? And what can be violated if there's no restriction? If there's no law about speed limit, anyone can drive however fast or slow they want. Scholars suggest that whenever Moses spoke with God, the radiant face on his face was a reflection of the Lord. That radiant face of the Lord appeared in the face of Moses. And his radiant face practically proved that Moses met God face to face. And the Israelites were amazed. And they were scared too. And so they obeyed Moses. Now, well, can we also have radiant face similar to what Moses had? What do you think? Try it. Try it yourself. Take a selfie of yourself. Just take a selfie. And then spend time praying, reading the Word of God, maybe 30 minutes or more. And then after praying 30 minutes or more, take a selfie again. Try that. After that, compare the previous and the after, the before and after facial expression of your face, and you will see the difference. Especially when at times when you had problems, times when you really want to pray to God, something you want to pray for, or difficult things. Try that, and you will find out if your face become radiant after praying before the Lord, and testify about it if there's any difference. Now, the glorious experience in this temporal world is evanescent or transitory. When the Holy Spirit inspires us to obey God, Christ is glorified, and we sense that glorious joy in us. And even potential believers may smell the aroma of Christ in us. Surely, not all listeners will believe that Christ is Lord and Savior. Let's reflect on Mark 14:61-64. The high priest asked him, "Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One?" "I am," said Jesus. "And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the cloud of heaven." The high priest tore his clothes. "Why do we need any more witnesses?" he asked. "You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?" They all condemned him as worthy of death. Here is one biblical scriptural example that any declaration from Jesus cannot convert anyone to trust him, even if they are religious. Jesus admitted that he is the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One. The high priest audibly heard it, but they did not believe. Instead, they all condemned Christ as worthy of death. They obeyed the law of God, but failed to recognize Christ as Lord. This is really happening even to church attendees. How many times have you heard Malachi chapter 3 verse 10 when the Lord promised, "Return his tithes and he will overflow the blessings that you will not have any room for to store it." But many church attendees still resist. Even church leaders actually cannot, even pastors cannot give the 10% of their income to God. Why? Because it is the work of the Holy Spirit for us to cheerfully give. Some people would reason out, "Well, this is what is I cheerfully give." Well, reason is not, cannot convince anyone to believe in God. Reason. The Lord had exemplified. He declared it that he is the Christ, he is the Lord, but they cannot believe. and we, even if we say we believe that the Bible is the Word of God, not all people believe that. It's sad, but it's a reality. But if you are here and you heard that, if it is still tough for you to give the right portion of God, don't force it. Oh, I would give the 10% because pastor always talk about 10%. No, I am just reminding you, but don't force it. Don't. Why? The church do not need your money. God doesn't need your money. What God needs is you cheerfully give. So ask the Lord, Lord, give me the cheerfulness to give. Give me the cheerfulness to give. Many among you, many among us can testify that the more they give to the Lord, more than 10% actually, the more the Lord bless them. This is the reason I would always preach about this, because I would like you to experience what those faithful givers experience. The religious people in the time of the Lord Jesus obeyed the law of God, but they failed to recognize Christ as Lord. And they were deprived of the more glorious and exceeding ministry of the Holy Spirit that brings righteousness. If you fail to recognize Christ as Lord, what does that mean? If you recognize Christ as Lord, you recognize that Christ would provide for you even more than you can give him. That is what it means to recognize Christ as Lord. It's not about declaring, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord. You can sing, Jesus is Lord. You can name your church, Jesus is Lord. But if you fail to recognize him as your provider, as the Lord, as the master of your life, it means nothing to the Lord. It means nothing to the Lord. You can impress others, but the Lord is not impressed. But when we let the Holy Spirit work in our life and give us that cheerfulness, that gladness, that peace to give and obey him, that is glorious. Glorious, exceedingly glorious. Let's read again verse 9 of our passage. If the ministry that brought condemnation was glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? The Ten Commandments, the law of the Lord, brought condemnation. How is that? The Ten Commandments exposes violation and sin against God. Anyone who violates the law is condemned. In comparison, the Holy Spirit inspires us to obey the Lord, his law, gladly, so that we should experience exceeding glory in Christ, more than the temporary glory that Moses had experienced when he accepted or received the tablets of the commandments from the Lord. Can you easily obey the Lord? Can you easily obey the Lord? When the Lord says, love your neighbor, is it easy for you to love your neighbor who always let his dog make your lawn dirty or destroy your plants? Can you love that neighbor? Can you love that neighbor who would blow his snow blower in your parking pad or in your pathway? Can you love that neighbor? It's tough, right? It's tough to obey the command of the Lord. But even Christians hesitate to obey the Lord. Again, they hesitate to obey the Lord on the giving of the tithes of God. The tithes or 10% is the right portion of God from our income. If we believe that God give us that strength, if we believe that God give us that wisdom, if God give us that safety going to work, if we believe that, then He has the right portion. He only asked for 10%. The command to return his right portion to God, it is actually His way, God's way, to bless us without bias to the obedient believer, without bias. The billionaire can give billions or maybe hundreds of million dollars. You can only give $20 if it is your, it is the 10% of your income. The Lord would not look at that $100 million as much better than the $20 that you would give. The Lord Jesus even showed that reality when he was sitting next to the treasury in the temple, when a widow was giving two little coins, which is worth something like, you can pay for one meal today. How much is one meal from the fast food? Maybe $5. Maybe worth $5. But he said, that widow who gave that two little coin gave more than the others gave. How is that? Because that two little coin that the widow gave was the last money that she had for her food. After that, where will she find food? No more from her pocket. Of course, she will ask for alms. I don't know. So she gave the rest, everything she had, to the Lord, that two little coin, which is more in the eyes of the Lord, which is more than all that were given in that treasury box. The Lord did not ask that you give more or you give less. He gave the right portion that belongs to Him. But by faith, we gladly return His portion. That is faith. Don't give if you are forced to give. If you are reluctant, don't give. The Lord doesn't need our money. He can just create the gold and the diamonds and anything, platinum or whatever, if He needed it. What He wants to see is for us to experience His blessings that He already prepared for cheerful givers. And God blesses obedience. He decreed also that there's punishment for disobedience. So we do not have any choice. We cannot be in between, whether we disobey or we obey. Either or, there is consequence. Obey, you have blessing. Disobey, you have punishment. God blesses us by faith when we return His right portion from our income. And we also avoid the punishment for disobedience that God had decreed. Do you know John David's son, Rockefeller? Have you heard of his name? Someone published that John David's son, Rockefeller, was the richest person on earth in his time. And he was the first billionaire in history at the age of 50. His fortune, accordingly, could equal about $340 billion into this today's currency. But after 3 years being the first billionaire in history, at the age of 53, his body began to fail. And the doctors told him plainly, you have less than a year to live. Now I can imagine myself when I was told before the surgery, you have 40, 60 chances. 40, you will live. 60, you will not live. 46 days, it's not even 50-50 before the surgery. Yeah. Well, I had peace. If I die, great, I will meet the Lord. If not, then maybe the Lord has purposes for me. And here I am standing before you. How many months now? May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December, January. 8 months, and I'm standing before you, testifying how great God is. Reminding us, you see me, you remind us, one day each of us will leave this world. Now, going back to Rockefeller, when he was told that he had only 1 year to live, when doctors told him plainly, Rockefeller gathered his lawyers and accountant and said, reorganize my wealth. Use it for hospitals, research, and charity. You can read more about Rockefeller and in those discoveries that they have had for our medical in the medical world. But then something happened to him. The more Rockefeller gave, his health became better. Did not die after 1 year. Actually, Rockefeller lived 44 more years, accordingly, until the age of 97. He was diagnosed at 53 to die the next year at 54, but he lived 44 more years. At the end of his life, Rockefeller said, God taught me that everything belongs to Him, and I am only a channel for His will. John Rockefeller was a devout Christian. The church is designated as charitable institution. Even the government recognized the church as charitable institution. And church members, if you are a member of this church, listen carefully, you are encouraged to return the tithes of God to His church. What if I want to give outside the church? You might ask that question. Your offering outside the tithes of God, the right portion of God, is what you want to give to other charity institution. That is right and proper if you are a member of this church. But if you are not a member of this church, you can give wherever you wish to give, or where you are growing spiritually, which is right. Give where a church help you to grow spiritually. Jesus Christ warns that wealth can cause foolishness, actually. Wealth can cause foolishness. And I have heard stories of many among us back in the Philippines. Professionals, they should be wise. Lawyers, they should be wise. Doctors, they should be wise. What else? Teachers, they should be wise. Accountants, they should be wise because they are professionals. Yet these professionals, these lawyers, accountants, teachers, or those professional, so-called professional, they are the ones who are fighting for each other for a piece of land. Do you know of families who are quarreling because of just piece of land? There are a lot of stories back in the Philippines that happens like that, because they want that wealth. It made them foolish. The wise who were even made foolish because of wealth. And the Lord Jesus told us about this. There was a wealthy man that he said in a parable in Luke chapter 12, verse 19 to 21. Let's read this declaration of the wealthy man. You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat and drink and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich toward God. Now, that verse 19, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat and drink, be merry. And this is the world's idea of how we approach life. Prepare for retirement so that during retirement you have lot to spare for yourself. The wealthy man did not plan for afterlife. He only planned for his life on earth. And God called him fool. And God designed his laws to impartially bless obedient believers. That church members who faithfully return the portion of God can testify that they are blessed more practically, so that they give not just his tithe, not just 10%, but also offerings. And that is one of the praises and thanksgiving when we attend prayer meeting, because we'll hear testimonies like that when they share, when they praise God, that God gave them that cheerfulness to give to the Lord. And many ordinary church attendees have difficulty returning the portion of God. Why is that? Because it is the Holy Spirit who inspires cheerfully to give the tithes of God. Do not force, again, I'm sharing this, encouraging you, don't force yourself. If you have that reluctance of giving the tithes of God, don't give it. Don't. God doesn't need it. What God needs is the cheerfulness. What God wants to see is the cheerfulness when we give, because that is the one He bless, the cheerfulness, not the amount of what we give. So don't waste your money. Don't waste your money. Don't give when you are grudgingly giving or you are reluctant. Don't give. It's a waste, because God won't bless that. Why is returning the portion that rightfully belongs to God is crucial step in following Christ as Lord? Why is it crucial? Why is it that we always hear the pastor preaching about tithing? Because money is significant for us to live decently. The more you have money, the more you can live freely, if you would like that word, or you can buy whatever you want and you have lesser problem if you have money. Financial sacrifice for the Lord is practical manifestation that the Holy Spirit actively performing in our life. If we can give cheerfully, you know that the Holy Spirit is working in your life. When you know that the Holy Spirit is working in your life, you know that the Holy Spirit of Christ is in your life. You are assured that your faith in the Lord is real. You are assured of your eternal life. Don't just claim that you have eternal life when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Make sure that the Holy Spirit is active in your life. Truly, it's the ministry of the Holy Spirit to inspire us to cheerfully obey Him, obey the Lord. We obey God because we want also to store up, gather more treasures for us in heaven, for ourselves. That is one command of the Lord that we need to pay attention to. Store up treasures for yourselves in heaven. Meaning, individually, we are to store up. Your parents cannot store up treasures for yourselves. Your children cannot store up treasures for yourselves in heaven. In only you, only us individually can store up for ourselves treasures in heaven. And that is a command from the Lord Jesus. Think about that. So how? We obey His commandments. We obey. But don't obey grudgingly. Instead, obey with cheerfulness. Be sure that's the Holy Spirit who enable you, empower you to obey. Earthly treasure can buy temporal glory. If you have much money, you can go to cruise and you have that temporal gladness, cheerfulness. sitting there sipping your orange juice or fruit juice in the yacht or in the cruise ship. But after you go home, you are tired. Where is that glorious experience in that cruise? It was the cruise ticket. Ticket. You left behind. You left them behind because it's temporal. As compared to the treasures in heaven, it's eternal. Eternal glory. Let's read again verse 10 of our passage and verse 10 and 11. For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was transitory came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? Moses had transitory glorious experience when God gave him the Ten Commandments tablets. It was temporal, it was evanescent. Its glory ended when Moses died. That glorious experience of Moses ended when he died. In comparison, the gospel of Christ brings surpassing glory that it continues until eternity. And we can sense that glorious gladness now until eternity as long as the Holy Spirit is active in our life. When we obey the commandment of God, we sense that temporal glory actually. It is similar to glorious feeling when we gladly obey our parents. Have you ever cheerfully obeyed your parents? Think about the time when your parents gladly told you to do something, to do household chores. If you gladly obeyed and they commended you, great job, good job. Have you heard that from your parents? When they appreciated what you did? Have you heard that word, phrase, great job or good job from your parents because you did something great? What's the feeling? There's that glorious feeling being appreciated by parents, right? I know that. I was once appreciated by my father. Oh, you did a good job. But do it better next time. I can still remember, I can recall when he said that to me. That is one of the more memorable experience I had with my father. My father doesn't usually appreciate anything because he is a great man and you need to surpass his greatness to appreciate you. And when he told me that, I feel very good, I feel very great. There's that glorious feeling of temporal, fleeting, and short-lived gratification. We can also momentarily experience glorious feeling when we get involved gladly in the ministry. We appreciate when you sing. You sing in the worships or play the instrument, musical instrument. And you see people are, if you are here on stage, and people are clap with you when you are clapping, enjoying you, and you can see their face, the facial expression when they gladly sing with you. There's that appreciation, right? When they cook, in a little while after this, the benediction, we will be having some food there. We can share. And when people say, oh, this is really good, delicious, masarap. And you feel that, I don't know how you call that, glorious feeling. Or when in young people, nobody would tell them, and they would gather your utensils and proceed to the kitchen, and they wash silently, and then singing, while washing they are singing or kidding with each other, as if they are doing nothing just for fun. It's glorious feeling. I love to see that. Love to see when people, young people are washing dishes utensils at the kitchen. They are smiling and just trying to have fun instead of what do you call it? Long face. Instead of long face, I'm again the one in charge. Right? Or during those who are very good in decoration, and people would go there like that, take a picture, family picture, come on, family picture, group picture. And the one who prepared that, the one who has designed that, surely had that feeling, a glorious feeling of flattery, of fleeting, wow, they use my decoration as background for selfie, for picture. And you would observe them when they are, you posted it on the Facebook or social media, and they would say, you are not looking at the picture of the people. You are looking of what you did, because, wow, that's a nice picture. Nice picture because you decorated it. But that's fleeting. That's temporal. It will fade away. It will fade away. Instead, to perform gladly for Christ, that would be eternal. Seek inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Seek inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Lord, bless me that I may serve you gladly. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. That is one thing you would like to pray every now and then. Whenever you remember it, ask the Lord to fill you with the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we forget to let the Holy Spirit prevail in us. So keep on praying. If you have nothing to pray for, pray that you are filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of wisdom, and the Spirit of revelation. And the Lord would reveal to you the things you want to pray for. He wants you to pray for. Now, in the wilderness, the Israelites grumbled against Moses. And Moses was angry. When Moses was angry, he disobeyed the Lord. So be careful. When we get angry, we can also disobey. We can also disobey the Lord, like Moses. Moses was the greatest leader of the Israelites, but he was also angry and he disobeyed the Lord. Did you know when Moses disobeyed the Lord? It narrated in Numbers 20, verse 8 to 12. Let's meditatively read this passage. Take the staff, and you and your brother Aaron gather the assembly. Speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will pour out its water. You will bring water out of the rock for the community, so they and their livestock can drink. So Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence just as he commanded him. He and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock, and Moses said to them, "Listen, you rebels, must we bring you water out of this rock?" Then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with his staff. Water gushed out in the community, and their livestock drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not trust me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give them." The Lord told Moses, "Speak to the rock, speak to the rock." But Moses struck the rock, That was the second time that water came out of the rock. The first time the water came out of the rock was when the Lord Moses told Moses, "Strike." That was the first time. Strike the rock. He obeyed. He struck the rock with his staff, and water came out of the rock at Mount Sinai. Let's read what happened in Exodus 17:6. Strike the rock. That is what the Lord told Moses. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink. So Moses did it, did this in the sight of the elders of Israel, and it happened. Water came out of the rock. Now, simple instruction, the same result. And many among us are like Moses. Instead of seeking the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we do it out of obligation, out of responsibility. We do something because it's our obligation. Parents do prepare for their family foods grudgingly sometimes because it's their obligation to feed their family. Children wash dishes, clean, do household chore grudgingly because they are told. What happened to Moses when he disobeyed the Lord? Disobeyed when he was told to speak the rock because he was angry and he was forbidden to enter the promised land. And most often, we perform instinctively and expect good results. And if we cheerfully obey the Lord, God blesses us practically. What command of the Lord have you often hear, or you sense resistance to obey? When you hear that command of the Lord, you just resist in your heart. God commands us to love our neighbors as ourselves, as we love ourselves. Do you sense that resistance in your heart? We will enter heaven, and we want our neighbors to enter heaven also. Pray that God gives you confidence to tell your testimony to your neighbors. We are mandated to witness, and that is one thing that we are, many of us, would hesitate to do, to witness, to testify of the transformation that Christ had done in our lives. Don't force that issue again. Ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, help me. Help me to testify and gladly share what you did in my life. And help me discern the potential believer. Not everyone will listen or believe in your testimony. But of course, for sure, the Lord had already prepared the person who would believe your testimony. When the Lord said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you and you will be my witnesses, when he said that, he already prepared that person who would believe your testimony. So pray, Lord, help me discern if that person believe in my testimony. Let me take this moment to thank you for praying with me. Last Sunday, you may have met my older sister. She returned to Ontario. And the first time I shared the gospel with her, I was very energetic and very glad to share. But she answered me many years. I suppose that was in 1997 or 1996, that year. But she answered me at that time, I'm still young. And I am a bad person, you know, what the saying says, bad grass cannot easily die. Masamang damo, mahirap mamatay. That is in our language, right? Masama is bad grass, bad weeds cannot easily die. That is how she looked at her. But yesterday, before she returned to Ontario, I was very prayerful. I shared the gospel with her. I'm just trying to sense if there's any resistance from her. But she was so glad to tell me, yeah, I took that evangelism explosion track from your church, she said. And when I shared the gospel with her and led her to prayer, it's my prayer that she would grow in her spiritual life. But I thank you for praying with me. That would be maybe cultivating the seed because I planted it before. I shared the gospel before, but she rejected it. But it could be a cultivation now. May she grow in her spiritual life. Now, that is one example. I'm sharing this because if you have relatives who are coming to visit you, take that opportunity, because that person come to you, probably God brought that person to your presence for you to testify. A friend who come to visit you, it could be your opportunity. They are what we call captured audience. They are captured audience because they cannot go away. They are there in your living room. You can share that. Most often, God put us in a situation where we can testify in the witness. I haven't shared this yet. When I was in the hospital waiting for my recovery, someone come and visit me. He was just wanted to share many things with me. I let him talk and talk and talk and talk. And then I ask him, if you think we are going to die, are you sure you're going to heaven? And she stopped from talking. And then I continued and shared the gospel with him. I thank the Lord for that opportunity. I'm sharing this because even at times when it's very difficult for us, it is also an opportunity for us to testify. She was so glad, that person was so glad that he had many things in life, he is comfortable in life, but what he is not assured is, he is not assured of entering heaven. I am in a more difficult situation at the time, recovering from surgery, but I had that peace with me, even if I can barely walk. I had that peace with me because of the Lord Jesus assured us. Now, if you are here today, and I will ask you this question. If you were in a situation, because this is winter, many times we have accidents, and if you were to die in an accident, are you sure you're going to heaven? Are you sure you will enter heaven? If you are standing before God and the Lord asks you, why should I let you into my heaven, what would you say? If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior yet, this is the right time. Ask the Lord where you are right now and pray silently. Lord Jesus, I don't understand everything, but I want you to be my Lord and Savior. You can pray for that. Forgive me of my sins and fill me with your Holy Spirit and assure me of eternal life. If you sense hesitation and doubt in your heart that you would enter heaven, ask the Lord to fill you always with the Holy Spirit until you sense it, that confirmation in your heart. The Lord wants you and me to be with Him forever. Don't allow that doubt in your heart to linger on. Instead, let you be assured that one day we will live with God eternally. And you will sense that glorious peace is that is one assurance that the Holy Spirit is saying, my child, I'm waiting for you. When the right day comes, you will live with me forever. When we obey the Lord, it's the ministry of the Holy Spirit to glorify Christ in us. And may the Holy Spirit inspire us all to testify for Christ, love our neighbor, punctually attend church services, or attend prayer meeting, return his tithe cheerfully, or whatever command that we have heard, may the Holy Spirit fill each of us peaceful gladness for us to glorify Christ in our lives now until forever. Let's stand up for our closing prayer.